after 3.8. Another Super Bowl record, the first refrigerator to score.
And the largest running back ever to score a touchdown.
And this, probably the last play of the game. Walter Payton, Mike Ditka, hungry Chicago, finally champions on this January day in New Orleans. 46-10, the final.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you, Waddle. Two catches, 14 yards, January 26th, 1986. Fire. New Orleans, Louisiana.
Is this the most lopsided Super Bowl win ever?
I think it was eventually beaten.
Points?
Yeah, I think 46-10.
49ers over the Chargers maybe beat that?
Wasn't there like a Broncos romp too
late? Broncos
later?
Seahawks? What was that one?
Super Bowls year by year. Here we go.
Broncos Seahawks. No, wasn't there? There was one where the Broncos got whipped by somebody.
Yeah, it was Seattle, wasn't it?
Seattle beat Denver 43-8.
43-8?
Yeah, so 35 points.
I was wondering, like, the first game of the play was a safety, I'm pretty sure.
A snap went over Peyton Manning's head, or he mishandled it or something.
San Francisco was 49-26 over San Diego. That's the one I was remembering.
I was remembering like a Giants-Broncos one, like a 55-something game with Elway. In those years when Elway couldn't break.
San Francisco 55, Denver 10.
That's what I remember.
That's
not Giants.
That is the one, right.
That's the one.
I was thinking,
not
I was,
bad.
I was thinking San Diego, but you're right. It was Denver, 55-10.
That's the one. So that, yeah.
There was a Dallas 52-17, but nothing more dominant than 55-10.
Those were the years where the Super Bowl sucked, where there was no like there wasn't much parity. Like where the team that was better would just come in and they would whip the team that wasn't as good. And now all of a sudden, you know, the Super Bowls are much better.
Remember how good the Baltimore San Francisco Super Bowl was? The lights went out. Didn't the lights go out?
Oh, yeah. We had a big... Remember, G. Greco and I had a big argument over that.
Did you? I forget.
We had a huge,
about what?
Huge argument over
about
the conspiracy theories. I said that I came up with that Jim wanted, like, had someone turn the lights out.
That was your take?
Don't you remember after the lights went back on, like, they rallied, didn't they? Like, to stop the momentum.
Don't even remember, to be honest with you.
Like
34-31, the final there.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Oh, there were so many good ones. I think it kind of started with the Rams-Titans, where Rams-Titans wasn't supposed to be that good, and it was good.
23-16.
And like there, and
followed by Baltimore 34, Giants 7.
That was bad. I was at that game.
Then you had New England 20, St. Louis 17.
That was good.
Remember when Tampa boat raced Oakland? Remember when the center for, was it Barrett Robbins,
yes,
from the Oakland
good
Raiders?
Recall by you. Went to Tijuana.
Yeah.
It was in San Diego. Disappeared into Tijuana.
Then New England 32, Carolina 29.
Good game, high-powered.
New England 24, Philadelphia 21.
Mm-hmm. Terrell Owens playing on like a broken foot, right?
I think so. Pittsburgh 21, Seattle 10.
It also go dating back to the other one about the T.O., that's where Donovan McNabb was throwing up at the end, and T.O. threw him under the bus.
Okay.
Remember that?
Yes.
Like on the last drive?
Yes. And then, of course, in Miami, the Colts beat the Bears 29-17.
Rex Grossman, bad interception late.
Defense wins championships,
yeah,
right? So, Rex Grossman versus Peyton Manning?
Yes. 46-10. 37 years ago on this day. They say you always remember your first. For me as a Chicago sports fan, that was my first championship. I was 13 years old. I was a freshman in high school at Niles North. I'll never forget, we waited in line at 14 years old, not 13. I was 14 years old, freshman in Niles North. Waited in line the next day, Marshall Fields, to get a sweatshirt, Super Bowl championship sweatshirt. And it was absolutely glorious. It was such a it had everything, that team, because it was filled with characters. It was probably the best defense to ever play. And it was the first time in my lifetime a Chicago sports team had won a championship. Like, before that, it was the 1963 Bears, and that was long before I was born in 1971. But for a lot of people listening, and a lot of people who listen are Tyler's age, who's, what are you, Tyler, 25?
25, yep.
Charlie's 23.
23.
Neither one of them showers on a consistent basis.
We have people who listen who are in college. We have, you know, some high school. We have a lot of people who listen who are in their 30s who weren't born.
If you mention the 85 Bears to these people or that Super Bowl season, they basically look at you and call you an old person.
Yeah, boomer.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just, and it's like you're holding on to this thing. You're holding on to Ditka. You're holding on to the 85 Bears. The Bears, like the Saturday Night Live skit.
But there was so much that was unique about that group, as you just said, that I understand why it had traction.
Yeah, I mean, some of the best times of your sports fan life. Simpler times. All the connections you had with your relatives who may not be around. Like 37 years ago, and the people who are younger, you'll experience it. You blink, and 37 years go by quickly. So for a lot of us, it still feels like it was yesterday. But I also get why someone who wasn't around or may have been four and not remembered it, that we're hanging on to this.
Yeah.
We're hanging on to this, and we celebrate this, and it's like, all right, like, when is enough going to be enough? When are we going to stop celebrating this? Kind of like how you look at the Sandberg game. But this is a championship. I know what you're
going
to say.
This wasn't just a random game in June.
Right. Right. This is an all-time, like I said, this is, every year they name the 85 Bears as probably the best defense to ever play in the Super Bowl era.
I think most people would agree with that.
Yeah, better than the Steel Curtain Steelers.
Yes.
And again, from the
better than the Baltimore Ravens defense that won that Super Bowl.
It had one of the all-time greatest players in the history of the game in Walter Payton. It had one of the most colorful all-time players in Jim McMahon. It had one of the biggest characters to sweep the country in Refrigerator Perry, who just took the country by storm back then. If this was back in the social media, if this was social media days, like, it would have been even bigger. But those were just the days where, yeah, it was the news and it was the late night talk show circuit. And he was on every one of them.
Yeah. You had the coach.
Coach Ditka,
you
who was larger than life. Yeah. And Coach Ditka was a star player on the Bears. And he came back to coach the team. And he was larger than life and so colorful. Buddy Ryan and the two hated each other, too, to make things even more full of drama. I mean, on and on and on, and Singletary and Mongo and Dan Hampton and Richard Dent and Wilbur Marshall. I mean, it was an incredible ride, and for a lot of the year, you thought maybe they would go undefeated. And then on one fluky Monday night game, the ball bounced the way of the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah.
And then they won that game, the Miami Dolphins. And sure enough, they flew overnight, and they recorded the Super Bowl Shuffle after that loss. That's when the Super Bowl Shuffle was recorded, and that went up the charts and was the number one song in the country, the Super Bowl Shuffle. And it had, like I said, everything. They dominated in the playoffs.
Well, this team inspired, as you mentioned, a Saturday Night Live skit that was on ever so often. Like, it became a cultural thing.
Yes.
It was part of the landscape. It wasn't just a football team. It was a thing.
Yes.
Because of all of
it
the
was
reasons.
The, it was, yeah, the thing, again. Yeah. And it was, like we talked in the first couple of hours today, and we were just telling you, this is the wasteland for Chicago sports currently.
It is now.
Where we have this collective win percentage of 451. Think about, again, I was 14 years old, and I never saw a championship. And I didn't see a division title until I was 12 years old, when the White Sox won in 83, and then the Cubs won in 84. But before that, none of the teams won. The Bulls didn't win. The Bears really didn't make the playoffs often until Ditka got here. You know, they won in 84. They beat the Redskins. They lost to the 49ers in 84. Then they set up the 85 team. You know, the Bulls weren't very good. They had Artis Gilmore and Reggie Theus, then Orlando Woolridge, and then in 84 they got Michael. The Cubs and Sox were stuck in their droughts. On and on and on. You know, the Hawks were an up-and-coming team with Dennis Savard and Al Secord. After they had Makita and Hull. But
we're in a valley right now.
Well, they were in a valley then. That's my point. So, like, in the 70s, it wasn't a rich time in Chicago sports either. So when the 85 Bears came along, it was such an amazing time. But again, now a lot of our young, like the people that we talk to every day, the guys 25 to 54, right smack dab in the middle, this is 37 years ago for them. So a lot of the bulk of our audience weren't old enough to even remember. So our question to you is, the 85 Bears, when we refer to them, when we talk about them, is it still the great blessing? Is it still the great thing to remember? Or is it almost a curse where it's like, enough already? Let's move on to the next thing.
I think it still has some traction. It's a large reason why this is a Bears town, that team and that stretch and that run. I get it. You know, George Halas created the league. But the fact that that team did what it did in this city and captured this city was a big reason why I think to this day, this is still a Bears town.
Sean, on 355, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Sean?
Hey, guys. What a great trip down memory lane. That time in Chicago was one of the most unbelievable times, not just because the team was awesome, but because how they did control the town. I mean, they used to break into radio stations. I vividly remember Mongo and Butthead kidnapping Kevin Matthews on the air, hog-tying him, and just taking over the board. Then you've got you had Mongo and Gian Greco. Mongo used to go on his show and beat the living crap out of Gian Greco every time he said something stupid. I mean, it was just they were absolutely polarizing, larger than life characters. And I can't see anything bad at all about going down this lane on anniversaries or any time. I think it's fantastic.
Yep, Sean, good stuff. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, not only were they the most dominant, but they were just this. As far as the characters, I think there were so many of them.
And you mentioned earlier, like, this team could have never existed in today's environment with regard to social media and everything like that. Part of what made them so great was that they were able to do a lot of what they did in some form of anonymity. Because the camera, while it was on them, it wasn't on them in the manner in which the camera is on you today. Like, social media, I don't know how that team would have reacted if, in fact, social media was part of the landscape.
Well, McMahon would have hated it. But, like, it would have made Fridge even bigger, is what I was saying. Like, Fridge was big by just being on the news in the late night circuit. But if he had, like, if that could have been viral, he would have been a viral sensation that year.
Yeah, I know. But I think that team, it was good that you got a glimpse of them, but you didn't get too much of a glimpse of them with social media. I think social media for that team in that era would not have been a good thing.
Oh, really?
I don't believe it would have been a good thing.
Jarrell on the West Side, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jarrell?
Hey, fellas, thanks for taking my call. And I finally get a chance to talk to Waddle.
Whoa!
Man, praise God!
Praise God.
Wow. I ran the Chicago Bears, baby. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
It is no problem. It is still a blessing, and this is the reason why. Name me one team since the Bears won a championship that became a dynasty only winning one Super Bowl. I can't think of none.
Yeah.
The Bears are a dynasty by winning one Super Bowl. And like you guys mentioned, all those characters. You can almost write a movie about it, write a book about it.
Yeah, but Jarrell, you really can't define them as a dynasty, can you? I mean, they won one championship. You can't. They weren't a dynasty.
Are you serious?
Yeah, that's the one thing that I think that puzzles or baffles a lot of football fans the most is that team only did win one.
Well, let me ask you a question. What do you have to do then other than win a championship one time for people to still talk about you? Because it's not just Chicago to still talk about the Bears. that Bears 85 team are still being brought up on all these sports shows. When they get to talk about the top defenses or defense that can lead you to the Super Bowl, somebody going to say, oh, they're not the 85 Bears. Nope, they're not the 85 Bears.
But they say the 85 Bears.
Right.
That's the thing. Right. Like the 49ers was more of a dynasty during that era than
the
Bears.
They won so many different Super Bowls. Like I would say this, Jarrell, that defense was dynastic.
Yes.
Like, that defense was elite for how many years in a row?
If they had a quarterback, they would have been a dynasty.
Yeah.
You know, if McMahon would have stayed healthy, they would have been a dynasty. But that was that's the curse. Like, not only is this a blessing and a curse on the story, like, of some younger people wanting this to go away, Jarrell, but the blessing and the curse of the 85 Bears was, the blessing is it was one of the most incredible stories ever.
Yeah.
The curse is they only got one.
Okay, last question. I'm going to hang up.
Sure.
Name a team then that you can talk about all the players besides the quarterback and coach that won the Super Bowl. Because I don't know a team where after you get past the quarterback and the coach, you can just keep going down.
Okay, Jarrell, how about this? How about Joe Montana, John Taylor, Jerry Rice, Brent Jones, Roger Craig, John Rathman,
Dwight Clark.
On this team, like that, Dwight Clark was before this group. Harris Barton, Charles Haley, you had Tim McCire, you had who else? I mean, who was you say? Ronnie Lott. I mean, like that was an era of the 49ers. You're right, Sylvie. Even before then, there was a different dynasty of 49ers teams, but the one with Jerry Rice and John Taylor and Brent Jones and that crew. That team to me was the one that I think captured, you know, the admiration of the entire NFL universe for quite some time. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jarrell. There you go. There's Jarrell.
But I mean, that you knew better than I wasn't here at the time. The defense was what was on everybody's brain, right? I mean, I get it, McMahon when he was healthy and all that, but how many years in a row did that? Wasn't the 84 defense even more accomplished than the 85 defense?
I think it was the 86 defense. When Tobin came in, Vince Tobin was their defensive coordinator after Buddy Ryan went to go be the head coach of the Eagles. The next, like, the 84 defense was good. Remember, Al Harris and I think they were talking about
Todd
it earlier.
Bell.
Al Harris and Todd Bell were on the 84 team.
Right.
And they went on and they surprised the Redskins, and then they got kicked by the Niners. And do you know the story of how the fridge came to be? So in the 84 playoff game, Bill Walsh ran one of his linemen at the end of the game to run out the clock.
Right.
He handed the ball
off. One of his guards.
I forget who it was. He ran the ball and it pissed Ditka off. So the next year when the Bears beat the Niners, Ditka did that against the Niners early in the year against them, and a star was born. And then he did it against the Packers, and then later in the year he threw it to Fridge against the Packers. And then sure enough, like only the Bears could do, turn a great thing into a controversy, they gave it to Fridge in the Super Bowl to piss off Walter Payton. So like it was just a wild, wild ride. Patrick in Downers Grove wants to flip it around, too. Patrick, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up?
Hey, guys. Long time listener. I called a couple times. Huge fan. Listened to you, Sylvie, when you were Sylvie and Carm. You guys are sounding really old right now.
Yeah, we are.
Like,
we are old.
But you normally don't. So I had to call in and be like, I'm 36 and I was born on the 86 side that I wasn't even born. So all I know is Bears losing. We got to move past it's 36 years ago. We got to move on.
So what was 36? Do the quick math for me. What year were you born?
86, but I was a summer baby.
So what was your favorite Chicago sports memory growing up?
Oh, Bulls.
So like the 98 Bulls, Michael's last shot? Was it the
70s? Yeah, I don't even remember like the early 80s stuff.
Right. So like the last championship, is that your
The last three-peat.
So will you, Patrick, you're 36 years old now. In 15 correct. Years from now, when you're 51 and you're my age.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Are you going to stop telling that story to people you know?
Of course not. I get it.
So,
but I want you guys to, I want to talk about what wide receiver the Bears are going to draft this coming year, because I'm tired of losing for the Bears.
And I
totally get what you're saying. It's a totally valid point. My nephew thinks LeBron James is the best player, so I have that debate.
See, Boomer?
Yeah.
I don't think we've spent, a second talking about the 85 Bears in over a year, have we? I mean,
no,
since
it's
the
just,
last...
No, just because of the anniversary.
Exactly, yeah. It's, so it's really something that has, I think, over the course of the last several years, become a distant memory in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And there's not as much emphasis on that team as there was 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago.
And a lot of the 85 Bears have become our friends.
Yes.
You know, you played with a lot of the 85 Bears and have been your friends. But I like it's one of the great, for me, one of the great joys of my life as a 14-year-old getting to watch them and then to become friends with Steve McMichael, the late great Dave Duerson I worked with many years, Jimbo Cover.
Yeah.
When Jimbo Cover is texting me about new windows, Jimbo Covert's texting me about Window Nation. It's surreal,
you know? Yeah.
Absolutely. It's fun. So, but yeah, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, a 36-year-old will quickly become us talking about the 98 Bulls. Or a 25-year-old, Tyler, will quickly become us in 25 years talking about the 16 Cubs.
Yeah, them.
Unless they
maybe
win
the
again.
Hawks. Yeah. That's the thing, is you just need the cycle to not be as distant. You need to have some continuous winning within the city, or otherwise it becomes a distant memory like this.
Or even if there is winning still continuously, greatness is greatness, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you'll see. Will that change how great you thought that Game 7 of 2016 was?
No, I mean, that is one of the best games I've ever seen, just with the drama, the magnitude of the game, everything that was sort of built up to it. Like, I'll never forget that. And that is probably going to end up being my 85 Bears moment of my sports lifetime. But it's one of those things that, I get it from the side that you're coming from, Sylvie, kind of like what Patrick was saying, how I understand, because it was such a core sports memory from your youth, and it's something that you're always just going to carry with you no matter what.
I think people would be less likely, obviously, to give the boomers hell for reliving the 85 team if you had a more recent championship to reference.
Yes, right.
They would be more tolerant of us old people that go down memory lane because they have their own memory.
If they had their own, right. Yes, exactly. All right, 312-332-3776. This is a really hot topic. So if you want to weigh in on it, we'd love to hear from you. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Waddle and Sylvie are back. Follow the show on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
My buddy Jim Jones tweeted, he says, no one hates the 85 Bears more than people like him who are born in 1985.
Of course. Yeah.
312-332-3776. We were asking for the younger people, too. And
just for the, obviously, we're talking about it because it's the city's 37-year anniversary.
Today's the 37-year anniversary, and whether it's a blessing or a curse. On all these years as we continue to remember it and everything like that. But, we had the conversation in the car as Waddle was my Uber driver again today. We have our station party tonight.
Where you're going to get hammered.
Yes.
I'm not.
It's a Thursday. That's my favorite drinking night of the week. Yeah. And, I understand. I do understand the younger people's perspective. Like, enough of the bear stuff, from the old days.
And my response to them would be, I get it, fair, But you should have seen that group.
Right.
On and off the field.
But then, like, you know what checked me, too, from that take? Is when I remember the 90s Bulls. Like, I will never, ever, ever stop talking about how dominant Michael and that 90s Bulls team was. 91, 92, 93, 96, 97, 98. Never. And I don't care how old I am or how many years the Bulls go without winning.
Left a huge impression on you.
This year will be the 25-year anniversary of the 98, the last dance. And
the last dance.
Yeah, I don't care. I don't care what you think. I don't care how many times you call me a boomer. I will go down remembering that and playing those memories. So that kind of put me in check. For everyone who holds on to the greatness of the 85 Bears, I get you.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I get you. Our buddy Jack's on the line. Jack in West Town, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jack?
Jack.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good.
So, a couple things, and I'll try to keep it quick. First of all, the guy you're trying to think of is Guy McIntyre.
Yes. I just, at the last break, I went and I wrote that down on my sheet of paper.
This is Jack Silverstein, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So, you know, the question of should we move on, is it a gift or a curse? Like you guys, I'm never going to move on from the 90s Bulls. And I was, you know, I was alive for the 85 Bears. I was too young. I mean, I kind of knew what was going on, but I was too young to have any kind of real understanding of what was going on. But you should never stop talking about those things. And really what needs to happen is the Bears just need to win. I mean, this is not like the responsibility of the 85 team to like go away, or we're not like talking about them too much. You know, I look at the Steelers, and the Steelers went to a Super Bowl in 95. They went to three in, you know, 05, 08, 10. They won two championships, but that doesn't mean they stopped talking about the Immaculate Reception or, you know, those great Steelers Cowboys Super Bowls of the 1970s, the four championships they won, Lynn Swann, John Stallworth, Bradshaw, that, you know, Mean Joe, that's not the point. The point is that the next generation of Steelers fans, they got to win a championship, and they got to have that moment. You don't stop talking about Franco Harris, rest in peace, and all those guys. I mean, you got to have a next thing. I remember listening, it was after week two, Bears Lions 2005. We put it on them 38-6. And I remember listening to Doug and OB after that game, and Ed Obradovich, who was on the 63 team that won the title, was saying how he remembers guys in the Ditka team saying, "We're sick of hearing about you. We're going to go win our own title." And that was the attitude that the Lovey guys were now starting to take.
No
we're
doubt.
Sick of hearing about the 85. So that's really what it's about. Never stop talking about 85. Never stop talking about Jordan Bulls. Win another championship.
Amen to that.
Beautifully said, as always, Jack. That's why we love you. Thanks for calling.
Hope you guys are doing well. Yeah. Take care.
Thanks, there Jack. You go. Bye. There's Jack Silverstein. If you don't follow him on Twitter, you should. Look him up on Twitter.
No, it's the point I was making before. I think that the people are more willing to give us hell for constantly referencing the 85 Bears because they don't have their own version of a championship Super Bowl team.
Yep. Our buddy Taylor in Hyde Park. Taylor, you're on ESPN 1000. What's on your mind?
Hey, what's going on, guys? What's up? What's up?
What's up?
Happy anniversary for 37 years of losing. but let's be clear. The 85 Bears, this is what it's like. It's like the guy, the old, you know, fat, balding guy who talks about how he used to date the prom queen in high school. And then every year he brings up how he used to date that beautiful girl back, you know, 40 years ago. It is, what have you done for me lately? And the fact that I'm 37 years and we're still glorifying this one team who won one Super Bowl, I just can't get over it. And I can see glorifying the 90s because you had a run of three-peats. I can see glorifying the new age Blackhawks. They won three championships. I can see, you know, even glorifying, I guess, the Cubs because they haven't won in 100-something years. But the Bears team, they won one Super Bowl, and I'm so sick and tired of it. And I feel like it's like the linchpin of like the good old days, referencing, you know, those Bears, that Bears team. And look, I can't sit here and see why it's so glorifying when it's the oldest franchise. They only have one Super Bowl. So I look at it as the opposite standpoint and say, well, it's just 36, you know, more years of losing, and I don't want to be like the Cubs and have one Super Bowl in 100 years.
See, I can separate the two. I can look at the organization and say you haven't won enough, and also look at that specific team and be absolutely mesmerized by their defensive dominance, the characters that existed, and the year that they had, and still understand why you would want to, I don't know, glorify it, but you would want to keep the memory going. It was a special team. Arguably the best defense in the history of this great sport.
I will say this, though. Like, I've lived in all across the country, and there's many, you know, teams and states and cities who might have one championship or one glorified team. And I will just kudos to this. That team must have been very special outside of the sport aspect of it. Because no other city or state will reference those or that one team like Chicago does the 85 Bears. I'm just kind of sick and tired of it because they've given you nothing recent in the past 36 years of a lifetime, my lifetime, to say how great this, you know, the franchise is.
But that's an organizational complaint versus looking at that team and taking out our frustration with the Bears football organization on that particular team. You know what I'm saying?
No, Taylor, it's good points, though. I get what you're saying, for sure. Yeah, I don't look at it as one guy reflecting it. I do get mad at the organization, though. I do think it's a good time to sort of reflect and say, boy, there's been how many Super Bowls, and you've won one and only been to two?
Yes.
That's not good enough.
That's an organizational frustration for me, but I can still separate that particular team and the overall organization.
Big Stutz, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Big Stutz?
Nothing much, guys. First time caller. Thanks for accepting my call.
Sure.
Listen, I just want to say this year, this Bears 85 is real special to me because, like I said, we had a dominant defense. We won the Super Bowl, and let's not forget that we are also the only Grammy-nominated team in the NFL. Anybody top that?
Yeah, someone else tweeted that how impressive was it that not only did the Bears cut the Super Bowl shuffle after they lost to the Dolphins, but the Super Bowl shuffle was a Grammy-nominated song.
Exactly. And like I said, I play that song every time before the Bears game start. I play the Super Bowl shuffle.
You still do?
Because I'm still part of the shuffling crew, baby.
Do you play it on vinyl, or do you have it now? What do you have it on? What are you playing it on?
Nah, I'm a digital guy, man.
All right, there you go. Thanks, Big Stutz.
Hey, thanks for the call, guys. You guys have a good day and have a good weekend.
You too.
Bear down, baby.
Damn, I cut him off.
Yeah, but again, like, think about the characters on that team.
Oh,
and the accomplishment and the Hall of Famers and the defense. And I mean, I get it. I understand why that team is glorified, for sure. It's one of the best teams in NFL history. Am I right?
Yes.
For a singular season.
Yes, it was. 15-1. And dominant, yes. And the way they rolled through the postseason, crushing the Giants, crushing the Rams, crushing the Patriots. Speaking of the Patriots, Tim and Aurora wanted to weigh in. Tim, you're on ESPN 1000. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. I've called in before. What you said a couple of callers ago in your comments is that I've been here for 20 years. During the Patriot run, I've been here. I've watched you guys, the whole thing. My opinion is, like the Cubs, they're not going to win again until that team is sold and they get a new mindset in there from the top down, like you said, and they're going, then you're going to refresh this thing. That's an opinion. I love Justin Fields. I think from a running perspective, the kid is an absolute freak. But let's face it, guys, he is not becoming a passer that he needs to be, and you've got to have both.
Well, again, I mean, I think that's an opinion that is shared by some people. Before I come to that conclusion, I'd like to see more from him. I think it's only fair to him to put more around him and see how he develops. With regard to them winning championships only when they sell the team, I don't know. I mean, maybe that will be the case. I am encouraged by what they've done hiring Kevin Warren. Hopefully that is step one in them doing business differently than they have in the past. And maybe they won't have to sell the franchise because going forward, they'll start making decisions like a, you know, a top-level NFL franchise.
Like the president will run the business like he's the owner.
Correct.
Right. Like, and the owner will step out of the way.
That's the way it should be run.
Right. And I always felt that George relied too much on Ted, and Ted didn't know enough and didn't know that he didn't know enough to make decisions, when to step out of the way, when to step in the way, when he needed to step in the way. And hope, I think Kevin Warren does.
I would buy that, and maybe that will be the case. I would buy that line of thinking had they remained status quo. I'm open to a different line of thinking now that they've decided to go outside the family to give the power, the majority of the power of the organization, to somebody that's not a McCaskey or it's not Ted.
It's when it's, this is when it's accepted to go outside the family. Yes. Jeff and Morris, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's up?
Yeah, so yeah, these people who call in the show and they bash on the 85 Bears, they're pretty clueless. You know, they're like, I would consider like fair weather fans and don't know much about the history of football because, I mean, like I said, I'll be 40 this year. I don't remember the 85 Bears, but I've watched plenty of highlights. I own three Bears jerseys. So I own a Walter Payton, I own a Mike Ditka, and I recently just bought Justin Fields, and that's how much I believe in that guy. So as far as the, you know, 85 Bears go, that was magic. You know, it was lightning in a bottle, you know, and anyone who wants to not talk about it, they're just foolish.
Jeff, like, you sound like a Bears fan.
Oh, I'm a diehard. Dude, I've been, like I said, I've been watching them since, like, I remember, I called before Tommy played at a soccer game of mine, a basketball charity game. I've been watching, like I said, I remember Tom playing when I was little. I remember Raymond Harris, Rashawn Salaam, Curtis Enos the Penis, all these bad players. You know, this organization hasn't known how to draft players, and that's why, like I said, we've been in the shape we've been in because it's bust after bust after bust. So this pick this year, this is like the trade for Herschel Walker with the Cowboys. If they can like maybe trade the first to the second, maybe the second to the fourth, and then maybe even trade like the fourth to like Oakland or the Titans or something, and just mass these draft picks. And if this Ryan Poles knows how to draft players, I mean, they can hit the mother load.
I love it. Trade with the entire division, right?
Let's do it.
Go from the Texans to the Colts.
Take from all of them. Yeah, take from all of them.
That would be the trifecta. Yes. How great would that be?
Perfect.
Three out of the four teams in the same division do a trade down. That would be glorious. I love him. That was a great call. All right, 312-332-3776. Charlie, one of the youngest members of our crew, got a little advice from his mom heading into the party
tonight.
Who
happens to be younger than the two of us.
No, not younger than me.
Oh, younger than me.
But she gave him some advice going into the party tonight on to not being the lampshade winner. We'll share that with you coming up next.
Take your Blackhawks game day to another level with a game day experience package. Take a tour of the Blackhawks locker room, skate on the team's practice rink, and enjoy a pregame buffet in style, all before puck drop at the United Center. Make your next Blackhawks game a night you won't soon forget. Visit Blackhawks.com/experience to secure your spot today. That's Blackhawks.com/experience.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Waddle and Sylvie are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
So we're heading out to a ESPN 1000 party with all of our coworkers.
It's an early spring break gathering.
I'm calling it a non-holiday holiday party. Waddle's got the early spring break party. It's a very early spring break.
It is.
It's not even the end of January yet. We were talking earlier. Charlie's in for Meller today.
Well, somebody referenced, I think. I think Mom was listening to the show, and someone was referencing whether or not Charlie was a leader in the clubhouse, one of the favorites to win the old lampshade award tonight.
Yeah, the goofball of the party.
Yeah, yeah. My mom's a big fan of the station. She's always listening on the ESPN Chicago app out in Oregon. But yeah, so she heard you guys talking about this, and then she goes, if so, behave. Don't be that guy. And then she said, pace yourself, drink lots of water, and then all caps, don't get hammered. Trust me.
I think that's all wonderful advice. It's the kind of advice I would give to my children, my adult children, three of them who are all older than Charlie.
But you would say to Charlie as a coworker, go get hammered.
Go get your drink on, bro. That's what I would say to you, but you're not my son.
And she said,
but I would echo your mom's thoughts about, you know, be responsible, drink some water, don't get in any trouble.
Get some liquid IV, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she said we have lampshade wearer in our DNA. So,
oh really?
Yes. Oh,
really? So you're prone.
See,
you're
you gotta recognize.
We're
that.
Pushing them to the to edge this. Tonight.
Yeah, not enough people recognize that you've got to drink the water. You've yes. got to have a glass
it
of
is.
Water. Yes,
I believe. I'm not sure, but I believe that Charlie won't be by himself tonight. So maybe your behavior will be better.
Yeah, I'm bringing my girlfriend, so probably gonna. Be a little off the gas pedal.
Okay.
Do you have probably a different not. Personality yeah. around your girlfriend?
No. Because Shay, I saw Shay after a Bears game with her, and I saw Shay the next day, and he was like, "You guys feeling all right?" And we were like, and I was like, "Yeah, it was a little bit of a rough morning, but
yeah,
all right.
Okay. You're young. You can bounce back.
We have fun.
Yeah.
Tell me if you like this parlay really quick, and then okay. We gotta got to run. I took
Bulls related?
Bulls, Hornets. I bumped it up to Hornets plus 9.5. Look, they're on the road. They don't usually play well against the bad teams. So it's a 9.5. Yeah. I'm giving the Hornets 9.5. Zach over 23.5 to bounce back from a bad game. DeMar over 24.5.
Is that points or turnovers?
If any.
Well, what's your what is
well
it?
Played.
What is it? What's the payout?
Plus 336.
Yeah, I like it.
So
the only the right, one thing run. The one thing that would bother me would be Zach.
Bye bye. We'll talk See to you tomorrow, bye-bye. 2:00. Exactly. Have a great night.